A reading from the first letter of John. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you that we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So it's been a week since we celebrated the resurrection of Christ, since we had Easter Sunday. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like we move on very quickly from Easter. In case you don't know how the liturgical calendar works, we have a picture of it. We are in this season that's called Easter. Sometimes it's called Easter Tide. So today is the second Sunday of Easter. And so in a way, we haven't really moved on. We haven't forgotten what happened last week, and we are very much invited to keep proclaiming it. Obviously, we're still singing about it, we're still preaching about it, and we're encouraged to keep living it. But I think the rest of the world has just kind of gone on. They've moved on. Easter sections at Target and at stores have turned over, and now they probably have the backyard hangout stuff because summer is coming. There's lawn supplies, there's pool gear. So it is understandable how we can quickly feel maybe disconnected from the Easter story because everywhere else has moved on. With Christmas, we have this very long buildup because if you're like me, you start blasting Christmas music on November 1st. Just like all real followers of Christ would do. One year, my husband and I even put up our Christmas tree in September. Or maybe you work with someone that has a Christmas countdown on their phone and periodically likes to remind you how many days it is till Christmas. So Christmas and Christ, to a certain degree, is everywhere at that time. The decorations, the parties, the traditions, the songs, you can't get away from it. And yes, I know we have Lent, and Lent is this long preparation, but the presence of Easter just isn't as everywhere as Christmas is. So therefore, it's easy to move on. It's easy to go business as usual. Christmas, we leave the lights on our house until at least February, much longer than January, as Taylor Swift sings in one of her songs. See, what I love about 1 John, the opening, the entire letter, is that I feel like it's some sort of hype man reminding us. When I read it, I can hear the excitement. It's like the writer saying, don't you remember? Isn't this amazing? Can you believe it? Can I remind you what we've seen, what we've heard, how we've been changed? The writer is extremely passionate from the very first verse about who we follow, how we seem to know these things, how we've been transformed. If there was a sound effect for this passage, I feel like it'd be that classic air horn sound. Say, listen up, I want you to hear these words. See, when I read it, I take it as instruction, as encouragement, as reminders that Jesus is still among us, dwells among us, lives in us, and through others, and through creation. Always has, is currently doing so, and always will. But we struggle with it, no? Easter was last week, and we have Pentecost to look forward to in a few weeks, but then after that, it seems like we're just waiting around until Advent rolls around. So how can we be better about reminding ourselves of the fact that Jesus still dwells among us? I want us to go back to the first part of the first verse. The writer says, we declare to you what was from the beginning. Obviously, they're modeling after the Gospel of John, talking about the Word in the beginning. And it would be easy to kind of just go past this part. But if I'm sitting here and thinking about how this, the through line of it, and if I'm looking for reasons or evidence that Jesus still dwells among us, I have to think to myself, okay, if Jesus was here from the beginning and Jesus is eternal, there's something about Jesus having this steadfast nature. There's something that is saying, without saying it explicitly, that Jesus remains. From the beginning, Jesus is here and will be here. See, Jesus didn't just pop into the story, didn't just hang around for 30 years, but was and is this living presence from the beginning until the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and also in this middle part right here today with us. See, sometimes reflecting and praying with Scripture is asking the Spirit to reveal things. It means going maybe a little bit beyond what is written on the page. It's one of the great gifts of being a United Methodist in that we are asked to think and reflect and wrestle with Scripture and use that reason so we can get more out of it. So I feel like I have this assurance in the beginning that Jesus is here. Jesus has always been here. Jesus will always be here, beginning to end, eternal. And then there's the second part of that first verse. And the writers talk about what we have heard, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have looked at, what we have touched with our hands. And this is where some of us will maybe feel like a roadblock and maybe question if you've had this experience. Because we weren't there, or if you were, you look very good for your age. See, many of these early writers at least had some sort of personal connection, maybe. They knew someone that knew someone, even if it was someone's aunt's brother-in-law, cousin, three times removed, that once had dinner with Jesus. So maybe it was easier, it was a little bit more believable because they knew someone that knew someone that saw and heard and touched Jesus themselves. So part of us says, well, we don't have that. We don't have that experience. But maybe we do. I understand that we feel this tension and there's this struggle sometimes to only see the conflict, only see the bad in the world and say, where's God? We have to fight that urge to not say, well, God isn't in this place. Jesus isn't here because of this injustice or this violence or this war or this conflict or tragedy. When you scroll the internet, when you watch the news, or maybe you hear the news of someone you know and love that has a diagnosis, or maybe you have encountered someone's death, it's so tempting to feel like Jesus is not here at times. I know that. We've all felt that. We have all screamed that or said it through tears at times. Maybe you're tempted to say, well, first century folks, it just must have been easier because Jesus was right there. They knew someone. It was just felt. But can I remind you of Rome? The oppression that they felt? Things were not rainbows and sunshine back then either. So how do these writers seem so sure? How are they so confident? Well, this passage gives us tools. It gives us language. One thing I noticed, and maybe you did too when we read through, is that they use the word declare quite a bit. I read four verses, and they say it three times. And I think that's really important. See, they say, like, we declare, we have heard, we declare, we have seen, we declare, we have touched. And it makes you think, how do I declare all of that in my daily life? How do I declare that I hear? How do I declare that I see? How do I declare that I touch Christ? Can we do the same? Like I said, it's not always easy, but I think it's vital for us to recognize and declare, not only for our own spiritual nourishment and our discipleship, but also for us to declare so others hear the message and know and maybe come to believe. I recently read this book called Freeing Jesus by Diana Butler Bass in my Monday morning woman's Bible study. Shameless plug to join us Monday mornings at 9:45. We have a great time. In one chapter, she talked about the presence of Jesus and how we can recognize and know. And I was introduced to a new word, quotidian, which means ordinary, everyday, mundane. Bass talks about how there was a time in her life where she wasn't writing, she wasn't teaching, or she wasn't traveling to speak to people. And so she felt like she was just doing ordinary things like housework. And then a friend shared a book with her, and she learned about this quotidian kind of time. And she discovered how in these daily tasks that seem so ordinary, so everyday, so mundane, that really were an opportunity to know the love of God, to feel the presence of Christ in the task like cooking and cleaning and laundry and raising children. And I have to tell you, that was good news for my ears. That was music to my ears and changed my perspective and motivated me to declare in these everyday moments where I have heard, where I have seen, and where I have touched Christ. Because when I'm stuck in the routine of making lunches, helping brush teeth, changing diapers, giving baths, helping someone get dressed, and so much laundry, just so much laundry, so many socks, I needed this reminder that Christ is still very much with us, dwells among us, is within us, and is everywhere. And so I thought, okay, how can I do this? How can I practically name this? How can I practically declare things? And here's a few things that I thought about. So when I hear the cry of one of my children and I go to them so I can give them comfort and help, I declare that Christ is one that continues to offer all of us strength and comfort and help. When I hear the stories of forgiveness and grace that people share and give to one another, I declare that Christ continues to transform and soften our hearts in ways that are often inexplainable. When I see the newness of flowers and trees springing forth, I declare that Christ is one that continues to create and bring newness all around us. When I see my kitchen sink full of plates and cups, y'all, my kids go through about 48 cups a day. I can declare that Christ provides this daily bread and this living water. And then when I touch the hands of someone else in prayer, I declare that Christ meets with us and hears our prayers. And when I shake hands with so many of you or give hugs, I declare that Christ lives in you, and you are a child of God. Maybe you need help declaring that Jesus is still here and dwells among us, lives within us, and is all around us. So even in the midst of going to work every day, on that long commute, shuffling kids to practices or rehearsals, in the caretaking of a spouse or a parent, in the middle of the night, feedings for a baby, Jesus is still here. Jesus still dwells among us. So much is fighting for our attention. So much is saying, like, no, Jesus isn't here anymore. So it does take time. It takes a perspective change on our parts to see and to know and believe that Jesus still dwells among us. And why do we need to declare it? Why do we need to recognize it and name it? It's because our world is broken and is hurting and in desperate need of good news. They need to hear that Jesus is still here. They need to know this Easter story. We don't need to hide it or only celebrate it one day a year. When I look over the first letter of John, there's so much in it. And I see that it says things like Christ is the word of life, that God is light, Christ is our advocate, that we are children of God, that we are to love one another, that God is love and faith conquers the world. We declare all of this because we know and we believe that Jesus continues to dwell here. So back to that liturgical calendar. So there's this huge time in the green that's called ordinary time. And we're going to enter into that time fairly shortly. And in this ordinary time, this green time, you see that it's a pretty big chunk of our year. I feel like it's our quotidian time, our ordinary time. And during this ordinary time, I feel like it's even more important to declare the good news, declare that Christ dwells among us and can be heard and seen and touched. At the very end of 1 John, that first part I read, verse 3, it says this: "We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." I feel like the end of that is this invitation. Join in this fellowship. Experience this. You have heard, you have seen, you have touched. Now be part of it. It's this beautiful desire for all to know and believe and live this life with Christ. Easter was last Sunday. Let us not put Jesus back in the tomb, my friends. Let us declare that Jesus continues to dwell among us. Amen.